Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we continue our examination of Romans chapter 4 and Paul's treatment of the doctrine of justification, you recall that he is using the illustration of Abraham as his primary way of demonstrating the biblical nature of the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that he has been teaching in chapter 3 and is now illustrating and supporting from the Old Testament scriptures in chapter 4. And what he said, of course, is that Abraham was justified apart from works. That circumcision was not part of Abraham's requirement for justification, as was taught by the Jews in Paul's day. And he's given several reasons for this and several things that are important in regard to this, such as the issue of boasting, that if a person contributes to his own justification, then he has something to boast about, but God's way of justification doesn't allow that. But I suppose the icing on the cake, if you want to put it that way, is the time of Abraham's justification in relationship to his circumcision. And that's what we find in verse 10. We read in verse 9, is this blessing, that is the blessing of justification, then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. And then verse 10, how then was it reckoned? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And this takes us back to examine more carefully the account of these things in the book of Genesis. And we find that in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, God made a promise to Abraham, which Abraham believed, and the Bible tells us in Genesis 15:6, that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. There's Abraham's justification. And it was received by faith. And when Abraham believed the promise of God, then God imputed righteousness to Abraham. Now, Christ had not come yet. The imputed righteousness of Abraham, which was the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, was given to him before Christ in time and space, actually came to earth, lived that perfect life, died upon the cross, rose again from the dead. Abraham, in other words, was looking forward to the coming of Christ, but nevertheless, his justification was on the same basis as yours and mine, namely on the basis of Christ's death upon the cross. And Abraham's had some inkling of that. He certainly didn't have the fullness of revelation that we have. It wasn't as clear to him as it is to us, but God had revealed enough truth to Abraham that Abraham realized that his righteousness was not based upon his works. It was based upon believing God, and that God had a way of righteousness which related to a coming Messiah, and Abraham must simply trust God for that, believe his promises, and wait for God to send the promised Messiah, which of course came long after Abraham was in the grave. But all of this given to us in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now in chapter 16 of Genesis, Ishmael was conceived, Abraham's first son, who was, as you know, not the son of Abraham and his wife Sarah, but rather Abraham and his concubine Hagar. the slave that belonged to his wife. She was an Egyptian. And that was Abraham's first son. That was the son that was born not of promise, but of the flesh, namely by Abraham and really more Sarah than Abraham, but Abraham is not immune from guilt in this matter, because he heard the plan, he agreed to the plan, he entered into the plan that his wife had proposed to him, namely that Sarah become a surrogate mother to conceive seed and bear a child in the place of Sarah, who was not able to do that. And so Ishmael was conceived. That's chapter 16. Then in chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, Abraham and his household, including Ishmael, were circumcised. Abraham was now 99. Ishmael was 13. So the simple chronology of putting all this together shows that Abraham was declared righteous, that is, he was justified, at least 14 years before he was circumcised. Now, the Jewish chronology that was taught in Paul's day is even longer. They put the chronology at 29 years. I don't know how they arrive at that. The evidence that I see in the book of Genesis puts it at about 14 years. But whether 14 or 29, and if the Jews in Paul's day taught a chronology that was 29 years, all that does is just show that Abraham was justified longer before he was circumcised than what we would surmise. But 14 years is long enough to prove the point. And if the Jews in Christ's day, the rabbis in Christ's day, or Paul's day rather, were teaching a chronology of 29 years, then that just emphasizes the point all the more. Abraham was declared justified somewhere between 14 and 29 years before he was circumcised. So how could anyone teach that circumcision is a requirement of justification? How could anyone teach that a man must, or a woman, a person must believe and be circumcised? Of course, oh boy, I shouldn't have said woman, should I? But that's another issue and another day in under the Jewish plan that God had given to them in the Old Testament. Of course, wives and daughters and so forth were included in the covenant community on the basis of their standing with their husband or their father. If he was a circumcised descendant of Abraham and thereby a member in good standing of the covenant community, then the wives, the daughters, and so forth that were related to him were included as well. But the point is that Abraham was declared righteous by the word of God between 14 and 29 years before he was circumcised. So how could anyone come back and say circumcision is a requirement for justification? Abraham was justified before he was circumcised, years before he was circumcised. Abraham was justified when he was still a Gentile, if you want to put it in terms of Jew-Gentile, because you couldn't consider him a Jew until he was circumcised. And he was justified years before he was a Jew. He was justified years before he was circumcised. He was justified years before he entered into the covenant of circumcision. And so the only conclusion you can draw is that circumcision had nothing to do with justification in the case of Abraham. So how would you conclude that it has something necessary to do with justification in the case of anyone else? If Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, and if he's the one we're looking to where all this circumcision rite began, that goes back to Abraham. But Abraham was justified years before he was circumcised. Then shouldn't it be apparent that circumcision is not part of justification? It's not a requirement for justification. Whatever it is, it's not necessary for justification. It has an important place in God's plan and program, to be sure, but not in relationship to justification. It came afterwards, and just the simple chronology makes that so very, very clear. Now, obviously, there are implications in regard to this that have to do with the scope of salvation. because this is one of the things that demonstrates that God had intentions for the salvation of Gentiles even from the beginning, clear back to the time of Abraham. In fact, that's what Paul goes on to say in verses 11 and 12, when he says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised." So Paul just drives the point home very clearly here. Justification has nothing to do with circumcision. And Abraham is the father, the spiritual father, of those who believe in Christ while uncircumcised, just like Abraham believed the promise of God before he was circumcised. But he's also the spiritual father of those who believe as circumcised people. The circumcision has nothing to do with it. It's the faith that is the key. It's the faith that is necessary for a person to receive the justification, the imputed righteousness promised by God to those who believe. And circumcised Jews who believe will be justified. Uncircumcised Gentiles who believe will be justified. It has nothing to do with circumcision. And Abraham is the proof of that. And Abraham was justified, as fully justified as any New Testament believer. His sins were not covered, as some teach, until the cross, and then they were remitted, but they were remitted fully when he believed. On the basis of the cross, of course. But he was justified. He wasn't justified pending. I mean, he wasn't covered, but not justified pending the coming of Christ, and then he was justified. No, he was justified. And he is the illustration, not only that justification is by faith, not by works, but he's also the illustration of the wideness in God's mercy. Gentiles, as well as Jews, Gentiles have every reason to believe that God justifies Gentiles as well as Jews. You don't have to be circumcised. Circumcision has nothing to do with it. And if you believe the promise of God that salvation is granted to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ and his cross work and in Christ alone, then you, like Abraham, will be justified. And Jew and Gentile, circumcised and uncircumcised, must come the same way. And furthermore, it's an encouragement to all of God's people to preach the gospel to the world, to evangelize, to witness, to tell to all that if you will trust in Jesus Christ, you too will be justified before God. And that's what all of this is about. It is the gospel, which is proclaimed to any and all who will believe it. Whosoever will may come. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Abraham illustrates. That's what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can gladly proclaim to the ends of the earth. That's what I believe. That's why I trust what you believe. And that's what all of God's people ought to be proclaiming far and wide, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith will be counted to him for righteousness. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.